right, so let's make it plain. Welcome back to the Make It Plain Wayne podcast, Elevated Friendship. How do you feel about all this going on? Now, I'm going to tell you how I feel, but how do you feel? Let's make it plain. All right, you all. So we are back, and I gotta say I'm enjoying these Disney Plus shows. And you know, we started with, you know, Cap and Winter Soldier. Now we know Cap and Winter Soldier. We started with Cap and Winter Soldier, then Loki. Oh no, let me back up. I'm really jumping ahead. So Cap and Winter Soldier. Then WandaVision, then Loki. No, is that right? Yeah, Cap and Winter Soldier, then WandaVision, then Loki, then the What If series. Oh boy, What If? Then we, you know, had some movies sprinkled in, you know, before and after those, some of those. Then we finally get to, you know, Moon Knight, Miss Marvel, and She-Hulk. And that's what I really want to talk about today with She-Hulk, because the controversy, the reviews, and how I view this show are all quite an amazing gumbo, an amazing salad of realities here. And the real reason why I wanted to kind of come in and talk about this is because I feel like there's so much of an echo chamber, as my buddy Steve calls it, that there's no originality or true reception of thought. We've come into each product now with the thought that this has to be like Ultron, or this has to be, you know, pre-programmed to where if I don't see A, B, and C, I hate it. Right? If there isn't the right amount of hot sauce on it, the right amount of sriracha, the right amount of mayonnaise, the right amount of barbecue sauce, or if it's not salted right enough, it's trash. Get it out of here. And I don't believe in that, especially learning directors and director styles. I can't go for that. So let's talk about Rotten Tomatoes. Let's talk about the comic accuracy. And let's just talk about, just in general, the reviews and the feels, because I want to wrap up how I felt about all this as well. So, you know, with Rotten Tomatoes, we get a score of 77%, which I feel is very fair. Comedies are very difficult. It's kind of difficult to make people laugh, but they got me. And they pulled the rug out from under me a couple times, and it was entertaining. It was a amusement park, right? This show allows that, and they did that. So that's what I appreciated about it. The audience score was 35%. So, once again, a hollow barrel makes the loudest noise. The people that were happy and content with this show, which was a lot of women, were not Marvel fans at all. Were not watching these shows at all. So you had people that loved Tatiana Maslany and that were intrigued by this show, She-Hulk, Attorney at Law, that were pulled in, that loved it, right? You talk to people that have nothing to do with these negative criticisms of these female shows, which, come on, y'all, these negative criticisms of these female shows, and they loved it. Why? Really go and look at why. So here's my thing. Somebody's enjoying something and having a good time and really enjoying it, and you can't. For some odd reason, you just can't. You can't understand why they get so much enjoyment out of this. Well, now the question is, what's wrong with you, right? So, I don't know. And maybe this kind of triggers me as, you know, maybe as a black man, it triggers me a little bit. as a girl dad, you know, am I being too soft? You know, is this like, ugh, you know, I don't know. But I just know it. When people crave originality and people are tired of the same old story and they're finally bored, it shows like this that, you know, usually bring something cool out of the mix. So, and that's why I feel bad. I hate to say it, but it seems like with any time there's a female product, Captain Marvel, Black Widow, Ms. Marvel, there's just so much negative criticism from the fan boys. And that's where for me, I'm like, careful, careful, careful what you're doing here. You're going to be on that, in that soul realm next to Red Skull. If you keep it up. Like it doesn't have to be such a cookie cutter, right? Cookie cutter thing. Now, one thing that I kind of struggle with is being comic accurate. Back in 2006, they released two animated, or not 2006, but they released two animated films. For the Avengers. One was like Captain America, the first Avenger, something like that. And then the other was like Black Panther, blah, blah, blah. And many of the scenes and the story were like copied almost word for word, and the actions almost word for word. And in the, you know, battle with the Chitauri in the Black Panther movie, I believe Iron Man dies and Thor does this super holy reach up to the skies with lightning and brings it down on Tony and revives him back to health. And, you know, Tony Stark wakes up and says, "Oh, you really are a god." Well, in the 2012 Avengers movie, that thing essentially happens and Hulk yells at Thor to wake up. And it snaps him out of, you know, his unconsciousness. So there was like little things like that where I'm like, okay, obviously in the cartoons and in the animated films, you get to stick a lot closer to the, you know, source material, which is great. Sipping this lemonade here. It's great to stick to the source material. However, the closer you get to the box office theater, that's not going to translate well. And here's why. This is why I'm saying this. The cult following of comics is not enough to produce these large mega films where everybody's now invited. So ask yourself this question. Are the people that walk into the movie theater walking into the comic book store? Which one makes more money, right? So yes, I'm not arguing with you that we're getting away from the source material. We probably are getting away from it a lot. And I'm going to bring up an example of one that did it that I can never forgive. But yeah, we're getting away from source material. But let's just answer this question. Look at the box office. Look at these movies. Look at how much money is shuffling, you know, apply this. Put them right next to each other, please. Because we're talking source material, right? Why would you navigate away from the source material and go to this This Is Us, 30 Rock, Seinfeld, Martin, Insecure, Friends? Why are you using these kind of energies in my product and violating the source material so much? Put the comic book store right next to the theater. As a matter of fact, that's not a bad idea. If somebody's listening to this, you might make a lot of money doing that. Why not? Like put them right next to each other. How much during these box office movies of Black Adam and Captain America and all this, how much is the comic book store making versus the theater? How much is the box office making versus that comic book label, that comic book line? Now, awareness is great. And these comic book films and shows might create an awareness and a seduction, if you will, to pull this reader into the comic book store where now they actually start buying comics, which is dope, right? It might create a thirst. It might create a hunger where it wasn't there before. I'm all for that. Like, 'cause that happened with me and Green Lantern. I went through a series of events where, I was grieving the loss of my grandfather and just wanted to read something entertaining. So I grabbed the omnibus for the Blackest Night series for Green Lantern and absolutely loved it. The movies were, very, the movie was very off for Ryan Reynolds, and he even shoots himself in the extra scenes of Deadpool. But yeah, it was off, but it got me to go in and buy comics again, which I hadn't done since I think I was like 10 or 12, which is, it's great for the mind. It's great for the, creativity. My grandpa's brother called it a mental laxative, which I get. he's on the board of health. He's certified surgeon, so he can say that. But for those of those that know Charles, Dickens and Robert Frost and poetry and, fiction is not all bad. Martin Scorsese trashes this industry and says that they're not real films, but they get real reactions out of people. And we wrap ourselves in these heroes and in these characters a certain way. Like I said, there was one movie based on source material that completely broke away from what I believe was the accuracy. And that is The Passion of the Christ. I watched this movie, and I mean, there were like pastors in the back crying and people in there all emotional. And I'm mad the whole time because I was like, what is this? Like, I'm sorry, but this is trash. You can't tell me that you spent all this money to show how you could beat up Jesus Christ, right? And this is for my father, who is a pastor. He could not stand the Thor movie because all he did was get knocked down lower and lower and lower. He lost his powers. He's on Earth. He's trapped. And it took, humility for him to finally get his, Mjolnir back. Mew Mew. It took humility for him to get Mjolnir back, which is one of the coldest weapons ever in history. So it took him humility to get his weapon back, and then he becomes this super powerful Thor once again. And Nick Fury waltz in and says, I'm putting together a special team. So I, for one, was upset at The Passion of the Christ. And then later, if you just hold for a minute, we got in about 2012, the History Channel released a Bible series that was by far the best collections of stories biblically related I've ever seen. So in that, you get the source material, but it's not going to come in the form that you would expect it in. You got to stay comfortable with where you're at. You got to stick with and very wise man told me one time, don't lose what you've got to get what you want. Don't lose what you've got to get what you want. If you've got comfort in the comic book, stay there. But if you want so bad to drop the comic and see this vision in the theater, you've got a lot of directing to do, my friend. You've got to build your accolades. You've got to put in the work. Because by the time, and I'm happy to say this, by the time we get from 2008 until 2018, a decade of Marvel, and we're celebrating with Black Panther, and now we're getting to, you know what I'm saying, Endgame and Infinity Stones and all that, where if you were a director that's hung around long enough, you watch Star Wars. You watched Star Trek. You watched The Matrix. You watched Terminator, Avatar, all these major films, V for Vendetta, that deal with the sci-fi world. You watch Stargate and all that. If you watched all of that, you know that as a director, you had to put in the work, because James Cameron waited until not just the budget, the look of his thing could be present to make Avatar. He waited so long to get that film made because he knew trying to push it beforehand, it wasn't right. It wasn't right. And that's his directorial decision, right? You as a director, what would you do? And what experience do you have directing? Because one thing that you got to remember about these directors, they're being told to go this direction. When they give them this film and they ask them to do this show, they're being told to go in a certain direction. So, yeah. Is it accurate? Yes and no. Gao directed and adapted this show as best as she could based on the slate of productions that are coming out. So for me, I'm just looking at it, and this is how I feel. This is how I feel. Before you touch a product, okay? Before you touch a product, who is the director? Get familiar with their products and then ask yourself, after reading the synopsises or the reviews, or if you've seen any of their stuff, can I watch this? Will I get enjoyment out of this? Or are they going to, you know, go too far? Like Taika Waititi with Thor Ragnarok, I even told people that were not so sure about it, I told them, don't watch it, you're not going to like it. Because this director, what he does, you're not going to like it. And surprise, people liked it. It was my top Marvel movie for a long time until Black Panther came out. But what are you really looking for? If you're looking for She-Hulk to be like Thought version and, you know, just hanging out with Megan Thee Stallion, you know, clapping cheeks, and, you know, if you were looking for a Hulk version of Black Widow, then yeah, I can understand why your feelings are hurt. If you are looking for a sexy green version of Captain Marvel, then yeah, I can see why your feelings are being hurt. And that's what I don't know. I don't care enough to ask why all these men, guys, are so upset with She-Hulk, Attorney at Law. But I have to just believe that the women aren't staying barefoot in the kitchen like they're supposed to, is the thought that a lot of these men have, where it's like the interviews, good God, the interviews. And I know a lot of the nerd guys, a lot of the nerd game, there's no game, there's no charm out there. So I get it. You don't have the game. You don't have the charm to go out and talk to these ladies and wrap them up, scoop them up, which is something that I believe is a science that we all should improve. Your charm, your game, what attracts, you know, ladies to you, and what keeps them attracted to you. But I'm just like, is this like a sexist thing? Is this like, well, we wanted to see, you know, She-Hulk in a bikini and walking down the beach for a whole series? Like, what is it that you really wanted? And will this director, based on your research, will this director be able to present that to you? The one part I do understand, and I did confide and ask my sister, who does have a law degree, about this. At times when it does feel a little bit obnoxious and change pace and not be as... calm, right? As calm as the other shows. That is kind of hard to follow. It is kind of hard to follow. The jumping, running, bouncing plot, where it's so random and weird at times. I get that. You know, too many cameos. I would have liked to see the Daredevil relationship from the beginning, but that would have been a little bit too cliche. Where if they did not know, you know, about each other's abilities, you know, when they finally do, oh my God, you're blind and you're this amazing ninja from Hell's Kitchen. And oh my God, you're She-Hulk. You know, he's holding her heart and he can feel it raise up as he raises, you know, she grows and his hand goes up, you know. Like, it would have been a little bit too cliche. And that's one thing I do credit the staff and the directing crew, making fun of themselves, making fun of the writing, making fun of all the reviews, making fun of all that. But I do realize a lot of fans didn't think it was funny to be made fun of and didn't think it was funny that their algorithm is now being computed by Kevin, the digital AI version of Kevin Feige. I get that. That's not funny. But I don't know, y'all. I had so much fun watching this, and I think it's because, like, I'm already content. Like, I just know there's nothing that Marvel can really share with me to reinvent the wheel. They've already done so well. Like, I don't need any more Marvel. I need DC to stand up and do something great and do something good. So, yeah, real talk. Like, I'm content with Marvel. I don't need anything from Marvel. And I think now I can watch these shows and it's so entertaining for me because with Ms. Marvel, she's like a daughter. I have a daughter. And like my daughter was watching the show. With, you know, She-Hulk, I can watch that with my wife and we can laugh and giggle about stuff that we used to do in the dating world or that we went through. And women that are watching this show that are single know the difference of what, like, and this is another thing. If you're not a woman, I really don't think you should have been watching this show. Like, if you're not a woman, the only reason you should be watching this show is because you understand what you're getting yourself into, right? This is like walking into a room full of women having a conversation about men, right? Like you better have some brass balls, right? It takes big balls to be able to, and I'm saying this, please understand this. It takes a big heart and some big balls as a man to hear what these women are saying about us when we're gone, to hear how they trash us and run us down and or how they build us up and talk about us, what they like. It takes a lot. It also takes a lot to take out the trash after, you know, certain weeks. Your husband, your boyfriend, you know, you gotta. We take it on the chin in the ring and in the football field, but then when we're taking out the trash and you start to see blood on some things, now you're whimsy. So this show was from a female perspective, directed by a female director. If you're not a woman, I don't know what to tell you. I don't know. If you don't have sisters, if you don't have regular conversations with your mom, if you believe the world revolves around you and your chromosomes, then hey, I get it. But yeah, I had a good time with the show. It was like a season of Seinfeld with Elaine getting Hulk powers. I love the fourth wall. I love how she broke the fourth wall. I love how she mentioned X-Men. I love how she questions, you know, whose show is this? Because secretly, I felt like the Titania, Daredevil, and who else? There was a couple others. Just, I felt like the cameos were to keep people interested because people were going to be raising the fit about this show being a comedy and them not doing enough Hulk smash. Well, did you see all the property damage she made just trying to chase after Daredevil? I mean, I really don't want to see any more of that. Like, I'm just being honest. I don't want to see any more property damage. You know what I'm saying? Like, it wasn't even valid. It wasn't a riot. We weren't in a social injustice. We weren't trying to get justice for James or, you know what I'm saying? Like, we weren't trying to help anybody. It was just a bunch of just flagrant property damage to catch this one dude, right? So, last but not least, just a few more thoughts. We've been there and done that. Like I stated earlier, with Marvel, Anything that came after, okay, that last snap from I am Tony Stark, anything that came after that snap was all sugar-coated topping. So Black Widow, Spider-Man, No Way Home, these shows, these Disney Plus shows, it's all just icing on the cake to me. They don't need to do anymore. Like, that's why I think maybe I'm not so mad at these, because I'm like, you don't need to do anymore. Like, if anything, you guys need to just go over to DC and help them. But stay in your comfort zone. If you know the comic is your comfort zone, stay in your comfort zone. You don't need to watch these shows. It's not a requirement. And kind of like with Eternals, this is what like really blew my mind. I'm like, wait, you're mad at the movie with all the women? Like, that's what you're mad at? I don't get it. So yeah, we've got a lot of great TV shows. We've got a lot of great things out there that I feel like we should be watching. Doctor Who, Game of Thrones, Reign of Fire, Rings of Power. We've got all this great stuff that you can watch, but people want to, hang on this negative stuff. So, you know what, you all? I've had enough. I love you all. Hope you love me back. Please love, like, and share all these messages. I'll see you soon.